back to John 17 now. Apostle Paul said, "Who is sufficient for these things?" No man is sufficient for this one chapter alone. This is the Lord. This is the Lord's prayer. Men call the prayer that Christ taught his disciples, they call that the Lord's prayer. That's not. That's the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's prayer. This is, as it were, his high priestly prayer. You know, the Old Testament, where the tabernacle and the temple, right before you went into the veil, right before the high priest alone went into the veil, there was an altar of incense. That represents the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is that prayer, right before he went in through the veil, the Holy of Holies, poured out his blood on the mercy seat. This is holy ground. Someone said, we need to take our shoes off here. This is, we're entering into the Holy of Holies here. This is, we're allowed to enter into a prayer that the Son of God made to his Father. Intimate prayer between God the Son and God the Father, and he's allowed us to listen to it. He told us to pray in secret. And here he says, he prays for us to hear. And what a blessing it is. Someone said this is a Bible by itself. This one chapter. Telling us who Christ is, what he came to do, and who he did it for, and that he did it. And where he is now. My, it's profound yet simple. Very few words over a couple of syllables. Infinite. Sum and substance of salvation, eternal life. This will answer, this one chapter alone will answer every question that can be asked about God, about Christ, about man, about salvation, about eternity. Every question in one chapter. This is a prayer, mind you. And not just anybody's prayer. There's some wonderful prayers in Scripture. This is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for his people. It's not for the world. We read that. It's not for the world. It's for his people. If you're one of his people. John Knox, great preacher, had them read this to him on his deathbed. Over and over and over again. Till he died. This is my hope. Everything our Lord says in this chapter, in this prayer, is my hope. Salvation. Is it yours? Let's look at it. My. These words spake Jesus, a man. God became a man. He prayed. I need to pray, don't we? He did. He prayed for us. We're lacking, aren't we? Not he. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. We bow our heads, don't we? Publican wouldn't so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. This man is sinless, faultless. He could look into the eyes of God. He could tell God the Father what he would have him do. I will. Said, "Father, the hour has come." He kept saying, "Mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come." But now he says the hour has come. His finest hour. This is the Son of Righteousness who has arisen with healing in his wing. This is the sun at its zenith, at its peak, at its highest. Our Lord hung on the cross at noon. The sun never shines so brightly as at noon. His greatest hour said, "Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." The greatest glory of God and the greatest glory of the Son of God is in Christ crucified. Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. I'll be merciful. I'll be gracious. I'll proclaim my name." Who is all that talking about? Jesus Christ. He's the glory of God. The glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And though it was Christ great humiliation to hang on that cross in shame and dishonor from man. It was the greatest glory that man has ever given God. He said in verse 2, "Thou hast given him power over all flesh. Glorify thy Son, that I may glorify thee, as you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." The Lord God gave several things here that the Lord gave him. And one of them is power over all flesh. This is incontestable. This is irrefutable. This is undeniable. Who has power over all things? Jesus Christ. To say otherwise is to call Jesus Christ a liar. It's to reject this word. It's to reject the truth. Christ said, "Thou hast given me power over all flesh." Whatever it is. And this was his glory that God gave him to do, to come down to this world of flesh and give eternal life to these many of these dead sinners, dead in trespasses and sin, in the flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. Must be born of the Spirit. It says, "You've given me power over all flesh." Who did Christ come to die for? All that the Father gave him. His sheep. He kept saying that, didn't he? "I've manifested your name unto the men that you've given me. You've given them to me." God entrusted his people with his Son to come down and save them. Did he do it? Verse 3 says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God," which clearly tells us that men, some people believe in another God, a God that's not God. And that this is true eternal life is to know the only true God, as revealed in the Scripture. Who he is, what he's like. His name declares his character, his being. And our Lord kept saying that, "I've manifested thy name." They know you because Christ revealed him to them. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is God's glory, that God sent the Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, sent his world, his Son into this God-hating world. That's glory. That's God's glory. That's the Son's glory. It's the glory of God. Well, the next line. He said, "I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Now, he hasn't gone to Calvary yet. He hasn't shed his precious blood for the remission of the sins of God's people to make atonement. But the work that God's, the first work God sent him to do is to glorify God as a man. Adam fell far short of the glory. Adam brought reproach upon God. Adam shamed his God. Adam didn't glorify God. He denied God. He rebelled against God. And the angels, before the angels, Adam brought shame and reproach upon God. Before the fallen angels, before Satan, man has dishonored God. Across the board. So the God-man came. Second Adam from above. Another Adam. Not of the earth, earthy, but the Lord from heaven. He came to glorify God as a man. He condemned sin in the flesh. Every temptation that he was faced with, he had the victory over it. Despised it, denied it. More than that, more than not sinning, he glorified God with his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and every ounce of his being all his life. That's glory. That's what man was created to do, and that man failed, but not the God man. "I have finished that work." And a little while later, he's going to hang on the cross. And he did another work. It's all one work. But he See, as a man, he established his perfect holiness and righteousness and glorified God as a man in the flesh. And God was well pleased for his righteousness' sake. But now he's got to take man's sin. He's got to take their sins upon him. God is just. He will by no means clear the guilty. Sin's got to be paid for. And before the world began, God said, Son, you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to live a holy life. I'll do it. You're going to have to pay for this sin. You're going to have to become sin. You have to take their sins in your body on the tree and pay for them. Will you do it? And I'll do it. And when he's hanging on that cross, he said it the second time, third time actually, it is finished. It's finished. And now, O Father, glorify thou me, verse 5, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. It amazes me that Jesus Christ came to this earth. It amazes you. He was with the Father in glory and resplendent glory, and the angels loved him and adored him, and there was nothing but holiness and righteousness and peace and joy and praising God and worship and fellowship. And he came into this cesspool for 33 years, and everything about him was vile, despicable. Why? Because he's God, not man. So he's going back to the Father. He's going back to sit at the right hand of the Majesty on high, to be clothed in that glory he had before the world began, to take back his robes of splendor and glory, and never relinquish them again. And his last part of this prayer is, I will that they be with me to behold my glory. Man today cannot see the glory of Jesus Christ. In fact, there's no beauty about him that they should deny, that they should love him, or despise the man, reject him. He said, in verse 6, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. God chose a people. And this is what our Lord's saying, isn't it? The people, the men you gave me before the world began. God chose. Is this true? Well, yes, it's true. Jesus Christ is telling them. I remember it was 28 or 29 years ago, a place down here in Henry Fort asked me to come preach, and about 20 some of you went with me. As an opportunity to preach the truth to people that never heard it, or at least didn't hear it regularly. And many of you went. You remember that? I called my father at the time just for some wisdom, some guidance as to what to preach. And I had already picked out Romans 9. I'm going to take Romans 9 and just beat them over the head with it. I'm going to take Romans 9 and just, you know, which we love Romans 9. We love it. He said, don't do that. He said, preach John 17. He said, just preach what Jesus Christ said about God, about himself, about man, about salvation. Just preach that right there. And preach it like they are a fool not to believe it. If anybody questions it, they're questioning Jesus Christ. Preach it like that. Now, I did. I tried. I remember their so-called preacher sat there on the front row with his wife. He didn't even have a Bible. The pastor. But I remember coming to verses like this, he gave him a people before the foundation of the world, didn't he, preacher? And he was forced to do this. That's what it says. And I'm glad, aren't you? Again, if he had not chosen a people, none of them would have chosen him. The men you gave me out of the world, if he hadn't chosen a people out of the world, they'd all be in it and die with it. You gave them me, he said, and they have kept thy word. They've laid hold of the word of life. They've kept it as something they don't want to lose. Why? That's what we talked about this morning, didn't we, brother? Why is this life to you? Oh, it is to me. There was a time I didn't care. Why care now? Why? I made my decision. Oh, no. God made that decision before Isaac was born. He said, one day you're going to care, all right. Oh, he says in verse 6, now they have, verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that man that lived on this earth is God. Don't you? There is no doubt in my mind. There's nothing anybody can say or nothing that can happen that will change my mind. Why? Because when God teaches, you're taught. They'll all be taught of God. He says in verse 8, I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they received them. Look at this. You see, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, received by angels and received up, believed on in the world and received up unto glory. He says this here. I've given them thy words and that thou gavest me, and they received them. He goes on to say the world doesn't receive the word. There was a time when I didn't receive the word. My heart was hard. But God, bless his holy name, they've received him. As many as received him, he gave the power, the right, the privilege to become sons of God, which were born, not of will of the flesh, not the will of man, blood, but of God. God gave birth to them. God chose them and said, be born. Oh, my. They received it. They've known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. Oh, my. It was finally a day the Lord revealed himself to me, and I believe that he sent the gospel. He sent the gospel of Christ to deliver me. God, I believe he sent him to me. Sent one. That's what he does. That's what God does. He sends. Go down there. You see that fellow there? That wild ass's coat? Apprehend him. And bring him to me. Sent. Johnny sent those disciples for that wild ass's coat. What do you need with him? I'm going to get glory out of him. I'm going to ride him. And he's going to be happy about it. I pray for them. Verse 9, he said, I pray for them, not for the world. Now, if Christ died, if God loves everybody in the world, and Christ died for every single person in the world, why didn't he pray for everybody in the world? He didn't. Those are the two biggest lies ever been told. God loves everybody, and Christ died for everybody. Neither one of them said. Neither one of them said. God loves his people. The love of God is in Christ, Romans 8. And Christ died for his sheep, he said so. He laid down his life for his sheep. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's it. But he prays for his people. And brothers and sisters, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are you with me? James said that. The effectual fervent prayer. He said, no, Elijah was a man of like passions like us. He prayed that it stopped raining. And it did. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. What about the righteous one? Will God hear his prayer? What does it avail? Everything. God answers everything that he prayed for. He does always hear him pray. He grants him everything. God doesn't grant me everything I ask for. Thank God. If I ask for anything in the name of Christ and the will according to his will, he'll grant that. That Christ, everything that Christ prayed was the will of the Father for the glory of God, for the good of God's people. And God answered everything he said. So who's he praying for? You. Me. Everyone that believes him. And so he says, I pray for them. They're thine. They are thine. They belong to you. What if I told you you belong to God? You're His. You're His possession. You're His child. Well, what would you think about that if I told you? You're God's child. You're a daughter of the King. You're going to be brought before the King in glorious apparel. Me? I'm a harlot. I know it. That's who He came for. Why? Glory. Mercy and grace. That's His glory, you see. He doesn't find beautiful women. He finds ugly ones and makes them beautiful. He finds rebels and breaks their will. It's His glory. They're thine. And all mine are thine. And thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. Christ's great glory was to come save these sinners. Oh, what glory it was for Christ to walk by that Sea of Galilee one day, and out there's this cussing, no good, spitting Simon, son of Jonas. He'd never given God a thought all his life. Fishing was his life. And he fought every man coming and going. And when he had got through fishing, he'd head to the pub. How that's his life, you know it was. But God. God said, son, go down and call that man. Simon, son of Jonah. Call him. So Christ came walking one day. This is glory. And that rough, tough, and tumble fella out there wouldn't believe, wouldn't follow anybody. He's a leader of crime and trouble. Christ with a word. Follow me. And turned around and walked off. And Simon Peter dropped everything. He dropped everything and everyone. Another time he dove out of the boat to get to it. Oh, what power. Oh, what glory. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what love. Oh, what grace. What a Lord. What a Savior. And Simon right now is singing at the top of his lungs. Unto him that loved him. He says in verse 11, he's leaving. I am no more in the world. These are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Keep through thy name. God, what's his name? The Lord God. Merciful, gracious. He will keep his people. He will. That's his name. His character. Our salvation depends on his character. He's a Savior. He cannot not save his people. He didn't try to save. He wouldn't be a Savior. He's got to save to be a Savior, doesn't he? Huh? Keep them, that they may be one. Our Lord is praying for the unity of his people. He said, they are thine, and thine are mine, and thine are mine. And he went on to say that I and the Father are one. And he's praying now that they'll all be one and let nothing and no one separate them from this unity. I need that. Lord, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to be one with you. I want to be one with my brethren. I want to be one. Verse 12, I was with them in the world. I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept. How is anyone saved? When it's all over, when it's all said and done, how is one single human being saved? Kept by the power of God. Simon Peter, when he first started writing his epistle, he started saying, elect, didn't he? The stranger scattered, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. And it goes down a few verses, kept by the power of God. Simon, you're going to leave me. Simon, you're going to deny me three times before the sun comes up. Not me, Lord, yes, you. But I have prayed for you. What's he praying? Keep him. Oh, we ought to throw him away. No, keep him. He kept. Don't you love that, Brother Kelly? We're kept. I can't keep myself. He can and he did. When it's all over, he's going to say, Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. None is lost. But the son of perdition. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, he says, I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Where is joy found? There is no joy in this world. There is no joy in any. It's brief. You know, we get a little bit of joy. I enjoy my wife. I enjoy my children and grandchildren. I enjoy some things in this world. God's given us richly to enjoy everything. But it doesn't last, does it? Why? Because we lose these things. Things change. But he changes not. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't change. In fact, our joy in the Lord ought to increase. When everything change and decay in all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. And no man will take that joy from me. Fulfill, I've given them thy word. The world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Oh, brothers and sisters, I know what you're thinking when you read these. You think, I am too of the world. I'm a sinner. No, you're not either. If you believe Christ, no. If you love Christ, God loves you. You're in his kingdom. You're in his son. His son's in you. If you have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, if you love his truth, if you love his people, if you love his kingdom, if you hear his word, if it breaks your heart, if it fills your heart with joy, if the word of God has a place in you, you're a child of God. You're not of this world. The world has nothing to do with any of these things. The world's not sitting in here this morning. It's hard to get anybody out of the world to come in and sit in here and talk about God. Now you're here. Why? Not of the world. Whew, that's good news to me. He says, I'm not of the world. Just passing through. You know that? We're just passing through. I pray not, he says, that thou shouldst take them out of the world. You see, when the Lord takes all of his people out of this world, it's over. Right? The last elect's born, it's over. So we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth, the scripture says. He sends us. What's salt and light? It's the gospel. It's truth. This is the glory he's going to speak of. He's given them and us. He says, I pray that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. That's the evil one. The God of this world who holds men's captives. Christ came and took captivity captive, took his people away from the God of this world, stronger than he, took his goods. And now they're his. They don't belong to the God of this world. They belong to God. They belong to Christ. And he takes them, but he prays for them. Keep them from that man. Once Christ takes them from him, that's who he wants more than anybody. Satan hath desired you, Peter, Simon, to sift you like wheat. But I pray for you. See, this prayer avails everything. Everything. Read on. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart. You see, they're not of the world. They've been set apart. They've been sanctified. How's that, truth? Oh, brethren, beloved of the Lord, I'm bound to give thanks to God for you. John and Erlene, all these years, you're still sitting there. Who do we have to thank for that? God. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. He set you apart from other people. You're your neighbors. Your neighbors don't come here. You do. Why? God in mercy. Sanctified you, set you apart, made you his choice by the Spirit through belief of the truth. Believe for the truth. Your neighbors don't believe the truth. You do, don't you? You love the truth. And it goes on to say, unto the obtained, whereunto he called you by our gospel. He called you by our gospel. That's how he calls his people out of the world, by the gospel. And what's it all about? The obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see his glory. John, I'm trying right now to glorify God, and I'm not coming close. But very soon, buddy, you're 80-something. Very soon, Brother John, you don't have to listen to any more bad preaching. Really? You're going to see the Son of God himself. And you're going to say, it was true, all right. He's true. What is truth? The word of truth. Christ said, I am the truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He's praying for his apostles in particular here. He's sending them out into the world. He told them they're going to be hated and killed for the gospel's sake. And he says, I'm sending them out into the world, so he's praying for them. And oh, God heard his prayer, and God kept those men, and God made those men resolute and firm to the end. Simon Peter, according to our Lord's prophecy, was crucified. He denied him in the beginning to teach him a lesson. But in the end, he gave him strength and gave him courage and enabled him to die for Christ. He sent him into the world that hated him. For their sakes, verse 19, he said, I sanctify myself. What sanctifies us is Christ himself. The word of truth, the Spirit of God takes the things of Christ and sanctifies us. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and what? You still with me? Sanctification. That's why we preach Christ. Because he's all the counsel of God in sanctification. He said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. He set himself apart. Holy, harmless, separate from sinners. He came. Separated himself from the Father. Left the throne of God to come down to this earth. To take a forlorn bride to himself. And marry her. Become one with her. And give unto her his righteousness. And take unto himself her sin. Give unto her sanctification. And take unto him her sin. That they might be sanctified. Through the truth. Through a knowledge of the gospel. Through Christ himself. Verse 20. Said, neither pray I for these alone. These apostles. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Let me ask you. Do you believe that the word of Paul, Saul of Tarsus, formerly Paul, now the apostle, Simon, son of Jonah, a fisherman, that everything he wrote down was the word of God and not men? Do you? That's why we believe. God sent the word. Great was the publisher, the company of them that published it. And Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 2. He said, bound to give thanks to God, brethren, because when you heard the word from us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Sister Jeanette, you know how that this feministic world that worships womankind hates everything that Paul the Apostle wrote. Hates it. Think he was a bigoted woman hater. They do, don't they? Do you, sister? You love it, don't you? Your soul hangs on what Paul wrote. You belong to him. You're his daughter. Oh, my. See, I believe through the preaching of the gospel, they all may be one, verse 21. the apostles and us, and we're all one now. As the Father already in me and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now here he's talking about a people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue under heaven. There's some people out there in the world that don't believe on it. Okay? They're going to. A vast number of people that don't believe on it. They're in the world. But they're not of the world. I mean, they're of it right then. But God has chosen them out of it. And they're going to hear it through the gospel. Saul of Tarsus is one of them right now that Christ is praying for. And all of the Gentiles and people at Ephesus and all that. He said that the world may believe. They're all going to believe that you sent me. And the glory, verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. What is that? What is the glory of God? What has he given the apostles? Something glorious. What has he given us? Something glorious. What are you listening to right now? Something glorious. It's the glorious gospel of Christ, the power of God. That's what Christ gave his apostles to go out to declare his glory. Glorious. He's given us this glory. That they may be one. That is one thing. We do one thing. Did you listen to the radio message? This is one thing that the church does. This is the one thing that God's people do. This is the one thing they do. They worship God and they rejoice in Christ Jesus. They preach the gospel. A man stands up and preaches a gospel and they sit and hear it. That all y'all do? Yes, it is. Oh, we sing, we pray, we read, but it's all about his glory. What's God's glory? The gospel. Christ is the power of God and the glory of God. Wisdom of God. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ said, the Father's in me. You believe that? Well, here he says, he's in us. Do you believe that? I don't. That's what he said. How do you know? One more time. Do you love what you're hearing? Christ is in you. And he says, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. That the world may know and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. When Christ said, having loved his own, he loved them to the end, he was talking about his disciples, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Well, I'm a disciple. I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I am. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he called me just like he did Simon Peter. I'm a disciple. Are you a disciple? I'm a disciple. Well, you need to know this. That God loves you like he loved his son. That's amazing. Amazing love. How can it be? That they, and I hear it. Oh, my. Listen to this. You know, we've looked at this about 35 times together. A couple of times we devoted a message to nearly every verse. Every verse deserves a message, doesn't it? You're hearing it all in one. My, what is this? Look at verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, I will, this is my desire, this is what I will, that they be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory, which thou givest me before the, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Christ says about all of his people, this is my will, this is my desire, that they all be with me where I am. I want to be with Christ. I don't want to be left out. Do you? Well, Christ. Are you going to be there? Why? Why? Because Christ prayed for you. I will. What are you going to be doing? Has anybody this morning seen anything of the glory of God, of the glory of Jesus Christ, of your own shamefulness and sinfulness, and yet the glory of God's mercy and grace and saving grace and His sovereign election and choice of you. Has anybody seen a little bit of that? Well, Christ said, I will that they be with me where I am. Boy, they're going to see glory. It hadn't entered into our hearts. He has revealed these things, but we know in part, we see in part. We're going to behold His glory. The glory God gave Him because He loved Him before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, verse 25, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. He keeps saying that. And I believe it. And I'm comforted by that. I really do believe the true God, the God of the Bible. I believe everything He says about Himself. Don't you? I believe everything He says about it. I believe all things written in the prophets and the Psalms and the apostles. Don't you? And Jesus Christ is our only foundation. My only hope. And I believe Jesus Christ is my only hope of salvation, that God sent Him to this earth to save me, to save sinners, and I'm a sinner. And I believe He did just that. He said so. And so, I'm resting my soul and my eternal life on the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth sent by the Father to save me. That's it. He sent one. And I have declared, He said in verse 26, unto them, I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it. I will keep declaring. You know, when you love somebody, you never tire of hearing their name, do you? Huh? Mindy calls me all the time, and her picture pops up on my phone. I love her. Oh, that's my beloved. Seriously. Until when I'm mad at her. But most of the time, seriously, she calls me. Oh, there she is. That's my beloved. Mindy. Melinda Sue. I call her Melinda Sue. All the time, don't I? I love that name. I love that lady. Do you love the name of God? You love the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love the sound of those names? You ever get tired of hearing the gospel of the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? In fact, you don't want to hear anything else, do you? You know what that means? That God has put in you the love that He put. Look at this, verse 26. That the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them. You understand that? God loves His Son supremely. Made a whole universe concerning His Son. Does everything for His Son. And the Scriptures talks about the love of God shed abroad in the hearts of His people. Meaning that they love Jesus Christ. They really do. Everything about Him. That's how you know. They never tire of seeing His glory like that picture. They never tire of hearing His voice. They never. A man can't say His name enough. That's all we're going to be doing in glory. And You love them. You put this love in them. That love may be in them and I in them. Meaning, the love of Christ. You love Jesus Christ. And He's in you. He's in your heart. He's in your affection. He's in your mind. The mind of Christ. You think about Christ. You call on Christ. You're who He prayed for. And I believe we'll see You in glory. Okay. Brother John, you come.